Hi there, friend. Welcome today to the Carter Report, and especially this program on the strange world of the occult. Would you like to know the truth about death? Is it possible for the living to contact the dead? Are the dead dead? Or are the dead all around us, alive as spirits? You know, many people think they are. And that is why in America, millions of people today believe that they are in contact with the spirits of the dead. You need to understand this because this is a tremendously important subject. Therefore, I want you to join the great crowd right now at the Shrine Auditorium as we open up the Word of God. You see, we're not going to go to the churches and find out what they think about this. We're going to go to the words of God Himself. Therefore, thanks for joining us and welcome today to the Carter Report.
Prophecy. It's used to peer into the future, but it must be learned from the past. The Carter Report presents Focus on Prophecy. From the Shrine Auditorium in downtown Los Angeles, John Carter unravels the mysteries of Bible prophets and brings modern meaning to this ancient book. And now, John Carter.
Now we're going to talk about the sinister world of the occult. There are many, many different activities that are tied up with the occult, and we're going to try to notice all of those this evening, at least most of them. Millions of people believe, particularly in this part of the world, millions of people believe that they have actually had an experience with the dead. I think it was Time Magazine and Newsweek some time ago that made the comment that they had carried out a survey, and I think it was a large percentage of the people in this part of the world, in the United States of America, who actually believed that they had contacted a dead person, or a dead person had contacted them. And so tonight we're going to talk at length or in detail about the strange world of the occult. I was running a series of lectures in Australia, in Sydney. We had run in the Sydney Opera House, and you folk all know that beautiful building with the big sails sitting just next to the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And a lady stayed behind one day, and she sat down the front. And after the meeting, she said, I do really want to share something with you, and I want to talk to you about an experience I've had. And I said to her, well, tell me about your experience, because I'd like to know. She said, I've had the strangest experience. She said, firstly, I'm not what you'd call a very religious person. But she said, my husband died about 6 months ago. And she said, I don't think I'm a crazy person. I said, well, from talking to you, I don't think you're a crazy person either. She said, but my husband and I were very close. We didn't have any children, and we seemed to share all our love with each other. We just loved each other. And she said he died about 6 months ago or something. And she said, some weeks ago, I was sitting in the kitchen. And she said, I didn't have him particularly on mind, but I was missing him. And she said, I was sitting in the kitchen, and she said, I heard a noise, a rustling noise in the living room. And she said, I looked up, and my beloved husband walked out into the kitchen. And she said, it was really my husband. He was wearing the old worn-out slippers, and he had on an old pair of khaki slacks. And he sat down with me, and he put his arm around me, and he said, I've come back to visit you to tell you not to worry, that I'm in a wonderful place, and all of our friends and our relatives are there, and we're having a wonderful time, and not to worry. And then she said, I know it was my husband. She said, I don't have any doubts at all. I know it was my husband. Because we sat down and we talked about things that had happened in our lives that went back many, many years, things that only he and I were conscious of. She said, I am absolutely convinced that I spoke to my husband. She said, what do you think? And so I took my Bible and I started to read to her some of the passage I've read to you tonight. in the previous session. And as I read these passages, she said, I know it seems to be right what you're telling me. It seems to be right in the Bible. But she said, I've got something stronger than anything that you can ever tell me. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've seen the evidence with my own eyes. And she said, I don't care what anybody tells me. That was my husband. I saw him. Now, in an audience this size, there are people who would have the same experience. I believe it. In America, millions of people have had the same type of experience. If you want to understand the truth about the occult, you must understand the condition of man in death, and there's not one person in 100 who understands it. I want you to notice some passages with me. Would you please take your Bible again this evening? And I want you to come to some key passages, please. I want you to come over here again tonight to this text that we opened with before, to page 596. And I want you to notice this because it's so vital and it is so important that you and I see this. I want you to come with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 8. And please notice verse 19 and 20, please. And it's page 596, Isaiah chapter 8. And it's verse 19 and 20. Have you got that? And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The Bible says this, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. The Bible says this, don't seek the dead. The Bible says, don't seek the dead. Don't seek the dead for messages to the living. The Bible says, seek to the living God. And if you seek to the living God, then you will know the truth. And the truth is going to make you free. Now listen to this. This is tremendously important. Listen. Every religion in this world, every religion in this world believes in the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. Now, I talked about this in the previous lecture. Every religion believes in the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. The Egyptians and the Babylonians and the Persians and the Medes and the Greeks, Socrates and all of these great philosophers and the Romans believed in the immortality of the soul, and it's believed today by the Hindus and the vast majority of people who call themselves the followers of Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you folks something tonight. Every religion may believe almost, every religion believes in the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. Every religion except this religion, the religion of the Bible. This doesn't believe in it. This Bible teaches that a person, when he is dead, he is sleeping until the resurrection. And I want you to notice some very, very important passages on this again. I want you to come over here. We're going to repeat a few and we're going to give you some new ones because of the importance of these verses. Please come with me to page 581, please. Over here to page 581, back to the book of Ecclesiastes that was written by Solomon. Page 581, the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9. For the living know that they will die. Yes, that's something we all know. The living know that they will die. But please say it with me, the next few words, aloud. Come on. But the dead know nothing. What does the Bible say? The dead know nothing. Look at this. We put this up in the last lecture. God alone has immortality. Man is mortal. Immortality is going to be given to us as a blessed gift when Jesus comes the second time. The soul has the capacity of death. Therefore, if the soul can die, there's no such truth in the doctrine of the immortality of the soul. And the Bible says that the dead are sleeping and the dead know nothing. Now, I said to that lady, I know that you've had an amazing experience and I know that you believe that you've seen your husband, but the Bible says your husband is sleeping and he's unconscious and he knows nothing. And she said to me, then what was this being? What was this being? What was this being tonight? We're going to tell you who that being was. We're going to tell you who that being was. I want you to come over here now with me, please, to the book of Acts, page 950 in the New Testament. Page 950, and I'm glad to see that so many of you folks sitting down the front are writing down the texts, as we say in Australia. Good on you. We're glad that you're writing it down. Good on you. Write them all down. Come over here, please, to page 950, to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Have you got this? Acts, chapter 7, and verse 59 and 60. Page 950. Have you got it? Now, I'm going to give you quite a few texts, one after another, and I want you to keep up with me and go like the wind, please. Acts chapter 9, verse 59 and 60, and it says, "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit,' or the breath of life. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not charge them with this sin.' And when he had said this," what does it say, folks? What does it say? Say it loud to me. He fell asleep. When this man died, the Bible says that he fell asleep. The Bible uses sleep over and over and over again to describe the condition of man and death. The dead, the Bible says, are sleeping. Come over now to Acts chapter 2 and verse 34, page 944. Acts chapter 2 and verse 34. We noticed this passage once before. Acts 2:34. It says, "For David did not ascend into the heavens." David is not in heaven, friend. The saints... Oh, wait on. Somebody says, "But the saints have got to be in heaven." The saints are certainly in heaven. I believe the saints are in heaven. The Bible says David did not ascend into the heavens. The Bible tells me that King David is sleeping, unconscious, and he's awaiting the life giver. That's what the Bible says. I want you to come now to page 1024 to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 and 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want you to notice this one, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. It's page 1024, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, and the great apostle Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have," what does it say? "Those who have fallen asleep." But the Bible says, don't be over concerned about those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Now, friend, people out there in the world who don't believe in God, the Bible says they don't have any hope. But the Bible says when you get to know Jesus Christ, you have got a tremendous hope. You hear that? The Bible says death is not the end, and we don't sorrow over the dead like people who don't have any hope, because we have the hope of the coming of Jesus. And verse 16 describes it. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." The Bible tells me that the dead are going to come alive again. And remember when Jesus in John chapter 11 was talking about Lazarus, Jesus said, "You don't need to worry about Lazarus." Jesus said, "Lazarus is sleeping." Jesus said, "Lazarus is sleeping." And the disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, Lord, let him sleep on, because he needs to recuperate." And Jesus said, "Lazarus is sleeping. Lazarus is dead. And I'm going to go to his tomb, and I'm going to wake Lazarus up." Lazarus was not in heaven, and Lazarus was not in hell. Lazarus was asleep, and he was sleeping, waiting for the coming of Jesus. I want you to come back now to the Old Testament, to page 778, back to the book of Daniel, the great book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, page 778. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2, page 778. Am I going too fast for you? I can almost always go a little faster, folks. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2. The Bible says, "And many of those who..." Now look, come back and we'll read this verse together. Read it with me, all together. Verse 2. "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." The Bible says that when Jesus comes, they are going to be, well, everybody's going to be sleeping. And some of those people are going to wake up, some to everlasting life, and the Bible says some to everlasting contempt. There is going to be a time of judgment. And the Bible says that all men, good men and bad men, sleep in the grave in a state of unconsciousness until Jesus comes. And that is the good news about the resurrection. Now, here is the big point. Get ready for this. You say to me, what's happening when people, earnest people, sincere people, good people, like that lady in Sydney at the Opera House, who believed that she was talking to her husband, what really is happening? What is going on in this situation? Would you like to know? Now listen, the Bible says that millions and millions of people are being deceived by evil spirits. And if you don't understand this subject, you may be the next casualty of the occult. The Bible tells us millions of people have been, and at this very moment in America, are being deceived by impersonating sinister spirit beings. Let me prove it to you. I want you to come with me to the book of Revelation. I want you to come to page 1067. And please look up the passages. Everybody, don't trust me. Read it yourself. You must see it for yourself. And then you're going to be happy about it when you see it for yourself. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7 to 9. Please notice it. It is page 1067. Revelation chapter 12. And you folk are going so wonderfully well. You're turning up the passages so quickly. Revelation 12 and verses 7 to 9. Page 1067. The Bible says, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." That's a very interesting passage because it tells us that there was a great battle up there in heaven. And the Bible says there was a battle between Jesus Christ and the great serpent Lucifer, the original Antichrist. And the Bible says there was not just a battle between Christ and Satan, but it says the angels of Jesus Christ fought and the angels of Lucifer fought too. The Bible tells us in that same chapter that when Lucifer apostatized and fell away from the truth and became Satan himself, you see, Lucifer was the shining cherub. He was a wonderful angel. And when he sinned and rebelled against God, one third of the angels of heaven joined with him in rebellion against God. You hear this? One third of the angels joined with Lucifer in rebellion against God, and they were cast out of the heavens, and they came down to this earth. Now you say to me, John Carter, what are these angels like? An angel is a being with tremendous power. He doesn't have the properties that we have. An angel can travel at tremendous speed. He doesn't seem to be confined to the speed of light. An angel has the ability to do amazing things. We would call them miracles. One angel back in the Old Testament took on an army of the Assyrians and in one moment killed 185,000 men. Angels have tremendous power. Satan has the ability to impersonate. We're told in 2 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 11 or chapter 12, that Satan can impersonate the angels of light. If you were to see Satan this evening, he would not be an awful-looking creature. He would not be a being with hooves and so forth as people picture him. That's really nonsense. Satan, if you saw him tonight, would be an exquisite creature, full of glory, full of beauty. And the Bible tells us that these beings have got tremendous personalities, and they have tremendous knowledge, and they have tremendous minds, tremendous wisdom. And they know everything about you sitting here tonight. They know everything about you. They know about your marriage. They know about your kids. They know about your home. They can't read your mind, but they can have a good guess. And so here are these tremendous beings. And the Bible tells us that these beings have deceived the whole wide world. And I want to tell you folks something tonight. You and I are engaged in a tremendous struggle. There is a tremendous struggle going on in this world between the powers of light and the powers of darkness, between Jesus Christ on one side and the devil on the other side, and all of these great spirit beings. And you and I are right in the middle, and we must make up our minds which side we're going to be on. That's what the Bible tells us. I want you to notice now a very, very strange story. A story that tells how the first king of Israel was deceived by an impersonating demon and how this led him to commit suicide. I want you to come back to the Old Testament, to one of the strangest stories, back to page 264. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 3 to 16, dear people. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verses 3 down to 16, the story of the doom of the king of Israel. 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verse 3 down to 16. And it talks about this man who went along to a seance chamber. Now, in America tonight, there are millions of good Americans who call themselves Christians who are playing with the occult, and they think they're stronger than the forces of the occult. Unless they can break with those forces are going to surely destroy them. I want you to notice page 264, 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verses 3 down to 16. Are you ready to go? 1 Samuel 28, verse 3 and onwards. The Bible says, "Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put away the mediums and the spiritists out of the land." Who are these mediums and who are these spiritists? The mediums and the spiritists were people who believed that they had great powers and that they could contact the dead. A medium was a person who believed that the dead spirit spoke through that person. This is not a new practice. Some people think this channeling and all of this business is something that is very new. It is as old as the Bible. It is condemned in the Word of God as being satanic. And so the Bible says Samuel, the prophet, was dead. Now listen to me, if Samuel was dead, if the prophet was dead, then and if the Bible is true, friend, then how much did Samuel really know? How much did he know, folks? No, he didn't know a thing. What was Samuel doing? Why, bless your heart, if the Bible is true, and the Bible is true, this man didn't have immortality, and he was simply sleeping in the grave, and Samuel didn't know a thing. You see, he was sleeping there, waiting for the coming of Jesus. He is still sleeping. But this man said, the king of Israel said, "I want to go along now, and I want to go along to a seance." And notice what happens. This is an amazing story, and you need to hear it, folks. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put away the mediums and the spiritists out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together, they were the enemies of God's people, and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. Now listen, here is a man in a desperate situation. It appears as though everything he stood for is going to collapse. And the Philistines, these pagan people, are coming against the people of God. And so he is terrified. When a person is terrified, when a person is unsettled, unless he knows the truth, he can fall into the hands of deceiving spirits. And this is exactly what happened to this man. Notice the story as we read on, please. So he, verse 6, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophets, because this man had turned away from God. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor." Now, this man sounds very much like many people today. Problems come to them, they've got troubles, they've got distress, and they say, "I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? God doesn't seem to be interested, and nobody can help me. Let me find a medium. Let me find a spiritist. Let me go to somebody who can channel. Let me go to somebody who can get me a message from my dead loved ones. I believe that my dead loved ones are alive and they're watching over me, and they'll come back and they'll help me." And so tonight, millions of Americans are going along like King Saul, going along to a medium, a witch at Endor. That's another word for one of these mediums, a witch. And so, verse 8, "So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes. And he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, please conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Doesn't sound too old, does it, folks? It's like a modern story. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? What do you want to kill me for? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. And the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. You know why he wanted Samuel to come? Because Samuel had been his friend. And he was a prophet of God. And now he's in an awful, awful frame of mind. He's in a terrible state of anxiety. And in his desperation, he says, please get me Samuel, because Samuel will have a message from God, you see. A lot of people think that if they can get religion tied up with it, then it's got to be okay. And so he says, please get me Samuel. Get Samuel to come along, and he'll have a message for me. And verse 12. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth.
Jesus Christ, our Lord, said on one occasion, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Listen, friend, when a person comes to Jesus, discovers the truth, and obeys the truth, then he is free indeed. And therefore, I want to invite you today to come to Jesus, believe the truth, and obey the truth, and discover freedom.